Welcome to the Rehab Your Life podcast. I am your host, Karen Malone, and I'm a certified rehabilitation counselor. My goal is to help you realize that no matter what you have been through, you can rehab your life. I will be sharing stories of women who have overcome medical challenges just like myself. We will talk about medical trauma, setting SMART goals, holding each other accountable, and spiritual growth and development, and more. I'm looking forward to growing with you on this journey this year. And we will get started in just a few moments. This episode is brought to you by I Run On Oils. Owner Carolyn Todd is an independent wellness advocate of doTERRA oils. Have you been struggling with your mood, skin, or hair? Could you benefit from learning how to use oils to boost your immune system, strengthen your hair, and clear up your skin, and more? Try I Run On Oils. Speak to independent wellness advocate Carolyn Todd today. Check out their website. It's a bit.ly/I Run On Oils. All right. Thank you so much for returning to another episode of the Rehab Your Life podcast. On today's show, I will be talking to Chuck Brown. He is a husband, a father, a grandfather, and pastor. He resides in Peoria, Illinois, my hometown. And we've yet to meet, but I already feel like I know him since connecting over social media a couple of years ago. And unfortunately, last year, his wife passed away, and he has so graciously agreed to speak to us about grief when someone loses a loved one. So, Pastor Brown, go ahead and share what you would like to in reference to your experiencing your wife's passing and how one would handle grief in reference to losing a loved one.
Well, thank you, first of all, for even thinking about me. I really appreciate you and what you're doing. And prayerfully, you know, this will impact somebody positively. Again, I'm honored to be selected to be a part of your podcast and your audience. And I hope and pray, you know, as with anything else I say, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in God's sight. It's, you know, grief is, it is a strange animal, to say the least. It is, you're never ready for it, and no question about it. It's not something you can prepare yourself for. My experience is the last 3 years, matter of fact, it's been, as with so many people, it seems to come in threes. In this case, in the last 3 years, mine came in six. Lost, three brothers. One brother started this whole trend. My mom and dad. And my wife. And I had been doing, I'm actually celebrating 20 years of pastoring this year. That's being installed and ordained in my first church 20 years ago, November, actually. And so, you know, you're doing numerous funerals as pastors. You do the best you can to be as loving and supportive and compassionate as you can. But once it hits home, it's different.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't begin to tell you how many funerals and as Christians, we have homegoings and those unsaved, according to scripture, is a funeral. How many we've done, I've done so many, been there for so many families, but when it hits you, it's definitely going to be different. You know, I think when someone passed away close to you, one of the biggest challenges is people really, they come to you, they really don't know what to say.
Yeah.
And I think it's just not fair. People get upset with folks when they, you know, they don't know what to say. If they've never been through it, they're doing the best they can to comfort you in some form or fashion. But in truth, there is no such thing as comforting words. You hear that all the time. Well, let me give you some comforting words. And then this grief comparison. Okay.
Yes.
You just lost your husband or wife or your child, God forbid. Oh, I lost my cousin 3 weeks ago. Okay, well, you probably didn't even talk to your cousin. But they mean well. You know, they're kind of saying, what they're basically saying is, you know, hey, I've been through some pain there. I feel you. You know, it's their expression. You know, again, you know, then people, Christian people particularly, or, you know, they'll use scriptures or, you know, one guy, I called one pastor and he said, well, let me pray for you. I'll tell you the truth. Prayer, I wasn't really talking to God when I lost my wife. I was angry. I was very hurt. I was devastated because I had always believed she would make it through that trial. You know, the breast cancer was a very short period for her, 2 years, and looked like we had it beat. And then it came back aggressive. Cancer came back aggressive on her lungs, and it just happened almost overnight. She didn't go through any morphine, any suffering, any loss of weight, nothing. Just boom, you know, my thing was gone. And so I wasn't really full of faith. You know, people like, well, trust in the Lord. You know, I wasn't ready to trust in the Lord. I wasn't talking to God. Like, why would you allow my wife to be gone? I was upset. I was sad. I was lost, irritated. And these are true emotions. And
thank you for that transparency, because as a pastor, people would not expect for you to say these things.
Yeah.
Oh, which, you know, you're still human. So, of course, when you're going through a major loss like that, you know, it's okay to be upset. It's okay to feel the feelings that you were feeling, but it's unexpected for most people with you being a pastor.
And, you know, you go in that hospital and you're talking about a couple that pray for people, lay hands on the sick. We believe you're going to recover. And I've been in that hospital and I've seen miracles. And you walk out of there angry, like, why didn't the miracle happen for me? And you're lost. You know, you go to an identity crisis. It depends on the person you lose. If it's someone, you know, it's part of your world, you know, but when it's someone that is your world, like a child or a husband to a wife or wife to a husband, or if your mom was your world or your dad, you know, or that best friend, whoever, if that person was your world,
it's
different level within you, because when they pass, you lose your identity.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost my identity. I didn't have a drive or a desire to be here. It's like, well, what's life going to be like if she's not here? Why should I accomplish anything? People are like, how's the supermarket project coming? How's the church coming? I'm like, church, I didn't want to be here. I literally was like, okay, Lord, here's what's crazy. We had a repast service after the homegoing, and a bunch of people, including most of my kids, we wind up getting COVID. Yeah, it's crazy. So here you got grief and then COVID. We had our shots, but it doesn't stop you from getting COVID. It just kind of helps you cope with it anyway. But I don't know how science becomes debatable and political. we've been getting vaccinations as long as I know, since we were babies.
So right.
But this one, I guess they figured it wasn't tested, but whatever. So I wound up getting Omicron, whatever. So I'm in the bed, I'm sick, I'm tired, you know, and I'm thinking, good, maybe God will just take me home. I mean, that was my true emotion. I was ready, you know.
Yeah.
I wanted to be with Alice. That's what I wanted. So for people, particularly in the body of Christ, sometimes we lack sensitivity to what people are going through. For pastors who do a lot of funerals and services and ongoings at their church, you become numb to what others are going through. It's not that you don't care. It becomes so routine, you know, kind of like violence in our community. We're so used to it. We've accepted it. Now we're numb to it. And that's why it continues, by the way.
Right.
So with her, it was just that was my world. I built my, anybody knew Alice and I, you couldn't see one without the other. You know, did we have a perfect marriage? Of course not. You know, I said Alice was raising you know, seven kids and a husband. So, and she, you know, she was quiet, but my wife wasn't no joke.
You
know? Yeah. She was a tough lady in a positive way. She meant what she said. She said what she meant. You know, Alice grew up, you know, her family grew up, you know, they weren't these little cookie cutter folks, you know, they were involved in, you know, tough life in Chicago. And I think that's what made her such a strong, powerful woman. And with all of the responsibilities that I have between the community and the church, you know, she was just perfect for me. You know, she was my best. And we did everything together. You wouldn't see one without them.
Yeah.
So we had a beautiful marriage. I married a single mom, as I mentioned. You know, Alice was blessed. She has seven beautiful children. They're still here. And, you know, when I got down on my knee, I think only one of them was not there when I proposed to her. And then my two girls wasn't there. I got two daughters, Taryn and Jennifer. One's in college, Illinois, and one's in, out in Virginia. She's a HR director, very proud of these kids, all of them. And I got down on my knee, and I gave her that ring, and I said, you know, I married her and the kids.
So yeah.
I'm still dad, I'm still pop, I'm still Chuck, I'm still, you know, whatever. You know, I'm going to be there with the kids. I got a new grandson, granddaughter. My grandson, Joel, he just turned one. We got a new daughter, granddaughter.
I saw that. Just, yeah.
I call her, that's the new Allie Boo. That's what she's called, for Allie Boo. So, you know, it is, you know, God knew, you know, I don't want to get into a spiritual component of it just yet, but we're family, you know, so we're here. But when that centerpiece of your life, for most of you listening, you know, so many of us have suffered. I think if you're alive and breathing, somewhere in the last 3 years, you've lost somebody critically close to you. And the thing that helped me so much was having people to reach out that's been through it. People that haven't been through it, they can be an encouragement, and I thank God for them, you know. But people that's been through it,
yeah,
they know how to cry with you. Bishop Harold Dawson, just, you know, we don't talk like we used to. That is my friend. You know, he had just lost his wife. Mine was December 21. His was November 21. Mm. And I would get on that phone, and, you know, we would talk, we would cry, we would share, and it's so different. My friend, Solivia Dismuke, she had lost her husband, Johnny, tragically. Pastor Young was very instrumental in calling. He always made me laugh. He had lost his K a few years ago, but he's blessed him since remarried. You know, I hope not to. I ran into a buddy of mine, I think it was Joe Wyatt. I mean, you just run into people who've been through what you've been through, and it's a different, and I encourage people, if you are a mother and you've lost a child, a connection with mothers or even fathers, it's like chicken soup.
Yeah.
To the soul, they know, you know, and then I reach out to people now. A friend of mine just lost her husband, Jacqueline, and now when people pass, I reach out. I'm being that person. Seem like I'm forgetting somebody, and I pray I'm not. Again, I have really widowers that really helped me. Pastor Jackie Adams, man, that brother right there. You know, they just really talk to me. There's somebody you could call at 3 a.m. You just want to cry.
Yeah.
You don't want to wear your kids out. You know, you're trying to be strong.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that word just for a minute?
Yeah, of course.
There's no such thing as being strong. That's such garbage. It's okay to cry.
Yeah.
It's okay. If you try to suppress that thing, it's the worst thing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
People will be strong. Like, you know, you're saying that because you haven't been through what I've been through. You don't understand. Pastor White, you know, his wife went on to be with the Lord. You have not been through that. It's hard for you to relate to it. And again, it's not being mean to people. It's just what it is, right?
Yeah, it's the same way. You know, I'm currently battling cancer still. And like you were saying, how people come to you with that comparison story, it that never helps. You know, they go, "Oh, well, my so-and-so died of that." And you're like, "Thank you. Thank you for sharing."
It's like my cousin, his arm wrapped around the back of his head, like really, seriously, you're all that, especially, let me encourage you before I even go any further. I was trying to avoid going to this part because I'd already told you how mad I was at God. Okay.
Well,
Wasn't
but you
part.
know what though? I haven't gotten mad at God, which is interesting because people are kind of like, you're just taking this like a grain of salt kind of thing. There's scripture that talks about, well, let me not even put it on scripture. Because I could be pulling the wrong scripture. There is a word that I've heard where, you know, why wouldn't you be willing to carry your part of the burden? You know, he was on the cross for us. He bore our sins and our iniquities. And so I feel like this is just me doing my part. So like when the guy that came alongside Jesus and helped to carry the cross, he picked that up and put it on his shoulder. And so I feel like this is just my way of doing that. However, this is the fourth diagnosis, the third metastasis. And so I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm getting a little tired. I'm getting a little tired, but it also feeds into grief, which is what we're talking about, because I'm having to grieve the life that I thought that I would have. And that's a whole part that people don't understand. And it even in reference to how you were saying that, you know, you and Alice was supposed to ride this thing out. You know, and so now you're having to grieve that life that you thought that you were going to have. So if anything, that's kind of what I struggle with is that it's not looking like what I thought it would look like.
Exactly. That part right there. That's where the frustration came in, like even with my kids, they're having their firstborn. Alexander had her firstborn. Julius, Alice's oldest son, had his firstborn. Jay graduated from high school. I remember my daughter Taryn went through this 12 years ago when she lost her 11 years, I believe, when she lost her mom. She had to buckle down and graduate from college. It's like these kids are doing great things, but they're thinking within themselves, like, well, what's the point? She's not here. Like, why should I go to the supermarket? Why should I continue the ministry? Why should I do any of these goals that I had set? This was supposed to have been me and Alice, not me. So you lose. You go through grief, you go through an identity crisis. You guys remember this. When you lose a job or you lose a spouse or you go through divorce or breakup of a relationship, you go through an identity crisis because now you don't know who you are anymore. We identify with who we think we're supposed to be. I was Alice's husband. We was this team. You see, you look on my Facebook wall, you see our little picture together. I like taking pictures of her because she's just fine. I know I got on her nerves. She like, oh Lord, I took pictures of my baby. I loved her. I mean, just she was just amazing person to me. So, but according to this is, I told the bad side, the tough part, shall we say, not bad, but the tough part, and that's just being real. But here's what God gave me. When I stopped running, I mean, I kept pastoring, preaching every Sunday, preaching the paint off the walls, and the church just growing. Our church, our ministry is just evolving. I'm preaching through pain. I'm preaching through sadness. And I'd get out of that church. We had full house sometimes. I'd leave out of there, go bend some blocks and cry. You don't need to know what else I did while I was bending those blocks. Y'all looking at me, I love y'all. I'm just being real. If you're not real about your life and as pastors, as leaders, that's the first problem. We fail to realize we got these titles as pastors and bishops and evangelists and prophets, but you're still a sheep. you're still one of God's children. Even Christ himself was questioning whether he should take that cup. Even Elijah, the prophet, you just got done defeating all those prophets of Baal.
No. Yeah, and then running.
From Jezebel.
Yeah.
By the next chapter, you're going to run, right?
Yeah.
She had to be a black woman. No.
She had the fear in him.
She had to be. Y'all just got away, you know. She had a brother scared. So I'm saying you could be these highs and lows, but don't pretend like you're not going to be challenged in your faith.
Yeah. That's
so unrealistic. You are going to be afraid. Sometimes you're going to be angry. You're going to be. Jesus wasn't exactly polite when those money changers was in the church. Right. You know, right. He didn't go in there happy. He got a three at a cord and tied it through three strings or something like that. All I know is he did one of Archie Brown's numbers. He went in there. Okay. He must've been my daddy going in there. So I'm saying you're going to have these emotions. Mm-hmm. He felt that. He wept for Mary and Martha when Lazarus was gone. He showed his emotions of anger, of sadness. This is real life. We're talking realistic. When you lose someone, you are going to go through a roller coaster of emotions, regret, frustration, some guilt. You're going to go through those things.
Yeah,
it's a part of it. And when we don't address that and we pretend as Christians, oh, be strong, you know, you're going to be okay. You know, well, yeah, it sounds good. But on the other side of this trial, and over the last year, this entire year, the entire year 2022 was very challenging because you got all these dates. You have first New Year's, Christmas, Thanksgiving, her birthday, your birthday, the kids' birthday. You got all these anniversaries. It is pain, sadness. Yeah. And the last one we had was, I believe it was, I want to say it was, her birthday. And we said, the day she passed, I said, no, we're not going to do no balloon release. Because it's like you're doing a funeral, home going all over again. Every time a little thing. I said, no, me and the kids, we're going to have some fun. We're going to try to enjoy each other. You know, Christmas, my daughter Monique just stepped up huge. She cooked all the food. I didn't know that girl could cook. And she did that. Her and the lady, both the girls got together, you know. And so it's really about reinventing your life.
Yeah.
My whole world changed. Without Alice, it's like there's this void. And so you can't just do this. You can't do this. See me? You can't just lay down.
It's so funny that you say that, though, because like this last diagnosis, it kind of sent me into a depression.
Yeah.
Because they had said, oh, you've already outlived what we thought you were going to live. And so they're like, you probably got maybe a year to live. Now, that was more than a year ago.
Right.
And so, but hearing that information, so we have to be mindful of what we allow in our ears, because like you were saying, people, when they come with the comparison story and stuff like that. So we have to really be good at guarding our ear gates. And so, but hearing that information, I would tell my girlfriends, I done fell down in a ditch and I'm just like this. Mm-hmm. I'm just laying down in the ditch. Yeah. I'm like, I got one eye open.
Yeah.
You know, to be like, I'm still here. Yeah. But I just felt like I was just down in a ditch. And it was about a good 3 months before I got my mind back right, saying, okay, he's waking you up every morning. So obviously there's some more work for you to do. Yeah. But that grief piece where, you know, you just would rather just lay down and die. Like, Lord, just go ahead and take me instead of me having to continue to go through these things. And so, but once I made the decision, and so I'm kind of, I want to put that question to you. Like, once you made the decision to keep living, what do you, or do you feel like you've made that decision?
Well, this is what God gave me. You know, like I say, the first, I guess you say your first few weeks or months, you know, you're at the, you know, end of the road, kind of like that was that song by Boys and Men. End of the road. Me and Alice love slow jams. That's right, the pastor. Yeah, we did. We get out of church on Sundays, man. We go take a little ride and go listen to some slow jams. She loved them singing boys. I called them 90s groups.
Right.
Romantic music is good for people. Nothing wrong with that. And so what I've come to clarity and understanding is God ministered to me throughout 2022, and I ministered to others. First of all, let's talk about cancer. Cancer is not a death sentence.
It's not.
It's not. We saw my cousin Carla at the treatment center many times. It's been some, I don't know, 25, 30 years since her diagnosis. I remember them sending my cousin Willie Ann home, said, go spend some time with your family. And they told everybody, come see her. I remember going to see her. I looked at her and said, you ain't going nowhere, is you? She looked at me and laughed. I don't know what they all doing here. Her daughter, you know, years before that diagnosis, her daughter had passed away on the operating table and left behind five kids and had the responsibility of her five grandkids. And she said, I ain't going nowhere. I got things to do. That's been, I don't know, 20 years ago. It's been long. So it's just processing, and we're not taking light of what you're going through. Mm-hmm. He's saying, here's what God gave me. We all have an appointment with death.
Yeah.
So I worry. My wife's appointment was December 10th, 2021. He said, I'm coming to get my daughter.
Yeah.
Okay. And he knew who I was going to be as a person, loyal. So we were together 10 years. And I got to know, for the most part, all, you know, the internals of the kids. And so I'm still there. I'm still dad. He knew when he was going to get his daughter, and he knew. Oh, you still there?
Yeah, it dropped out for a little bit.
Yeah, I better turn off my ringer. I think that'll stop calls from coming in. Okay. He knew that. She would be this date. He knew her beginning of days. He knew the hairs on her head. She was his before she became mine.
Right.
And we don't like that because we don't know when God is going to take us home.
Right.
And trust and believe, if we had our choice, a whole lot of people would be gone right now.
Right, right.
So I'm no longer afraid of death because it's going to happen when it's his time for me.
Right.
You're not going anywhere until it's your time, period. I'm not going anywhere. I could go out this door and get hit by a Mack truck.
Yeah.
Some of the apostles was crucified upside down, burned, beheaded, John the Baptist. We don't know how we're going to meet the Lord and rest in his presence. Oh, by the way, my wife is asleep. My mom is asleep. Mm-hmm. My dad is asleep. Okay. All those that went before us in Christ, they're in a state of rest.
Right. So
I stopped going out to the mausoleum, the grave site. I bought a double wide, baby. So they put my remains in there. I'm not in there. Alice, yeah. Not in there. So yeah. You're not talking to the wall or talking to the headstones. They're not in there. I know it's out of respect, out of love. And if it helps you, go out there every day. But I come to realize if I want to be in the realm of where she is, he says, enter into his courts with thanksgiving, enter into his presence with praise. If I misquoted that, charge it to my head, not my heart.
Right.
When we praise God, we go in his presence. They are sleeping in the presence of the Lord. Paul said, I would rather be absent from the body.
Yes.
Beware. Present with the Lord.
Right.
The way she loved the Lord, I guarantee she wasn't coming back here. So she didn't want to be back here. So she's resting in his presence. I'm woke, but when I praise God, I enter his presence.
Right.
And so we're in the same realm. And some days I feel myself just walking by looking at my mother and my father and my wife and my aunts and uncles and brothers. Those who died in the Christ are just in a state of rest.
Right. Now, I wish more people understood that too, because like I have a child that passed away. She only lived to be 7 days. So I don't have that life experience to be like, oh, well, when she was one or when she, you know, she only lived to be 7 days. So it's a little bit different for me with that. But yeah. During that time, when I was in recovery and everything, a blue jay would come and sit on the fence. And so now, like when I see a blue jay, that reminds me of her. And it's to me, I take it as the Lord's way of just, you know, consoling or, you know, saying hi or, you know, little things like that. And so when people get stuck in mourning or get stuck in that place, what would you say to them in reference to that? Like, because really we're choosing to stop our lives behind that one moment. And that's unfair to you. You keep getting woken up every morning because there's a plan and a purpose for your life. Mm-hmm. And so God didn't make a mistake. Like you said, that person had an appointment.
Yeah.
So what would you say to those who tend to get stuck in those emotions?
Yeah, and it's hard, because people, a lot of it depends on the role that person played in your life. And for some people, it's really, really hard to move forward after losing someone that was such a central part of their very existence. And, I could never tell a mom or dad what it feels like to lose a child. I've never entered into that realm and pray in Jesus' name. I don't. I never dreamed I would have to say goodbye to Alice. This plan was for her to bury me. You know, I've been her 10 years. And but a lot of times you see people posting on Facebook, anniversaries, birthdays, memories, just let them be okay. You know, most of us be like, why don't you move along? You know, they're dealing with it the way they can. And people say, well, I'm praying for you. Well, stop saying that. Stop lying. Stop lying. Like, you didn't really stop and say, dear Lord, I pray right now. Just stop lying. I mean, that's a nice, kind way of saying I feel sorry for you. Okay? We don't be praying for people like that. Some people do. But
Some of us do.
Most people don't, you know, actually put you in their prayer life because most people don't have a prayer life. Okay.
A lot of people are struggling.
And reading the Bible. I'm bad. I'm one of the ones. I'm getting there. I'm getting better. Alice, who heard Jesus? They had this whole thing going on. You know, she get up in the morning, she'd be there crying like this was no near any diagnosis. This was before that. She'd be crying like, what's wrong? She said, you don't understand. Like, babe, what, you know, husband, you're gonna fix it, right?
Yeah. Now,
crying tears of joy. They just had this thing. Her and God had this connection. Do you know she didn't tell people about her diagnosis because she didn't want people coming, you know, I'm praying for you everywhere you go in the store. You know, she didn't want all that attention. She was, you know, more quiet and reserved. She felt her job was to take care of these kids. She was strength. She had strength. Greater than me. You know, she was strong. And so I've gotten a lot closer to God. I've been pastoring. I've been preaching. But the relationship component where you're actually spending time in prayer and meditation and Bible reading, if we're being honest with ourselves, a lot of us don't. We really don't because we're so consumed with life. First thing, get up in the morning. I got to get to the job. I got to get to this. I got to get to that. Da, 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 da. So my relationship now with God has tremendously improved. It was hard during the first few months of this journey. And so what I wanted to share with you was, you know, like what you and I were talking about, this is a real talk of what people are going through, you know? And so you get, this is what this is, a confession of a pastor, right? You hear people saying, well, go to the hospital to pray for my cousin. I'm like, huh? You don't want me to go pray for your cousin? This is my mind. My mind saying, yeah, I prayed, my wife's not here. So you got an attitude. Mm-hmm. You're angry. You're frustrated. You know, going back into that zone where you felt your prayers were not answered. You're going through the whole emotion. These are real emotions, real feelings. Some people come and say, oh, I got healed. You're like, whatever. You know what I mean? These are conversations I have with my kids, you know, like how come my mama wasn't healed, right?
Yeah.
Going through so many. And let me tell you what God spoke to me about healing. Healing works when it's not your time. Sometimes just to show.
That's good.
When it's your season, when it's time for the Lord to take you home, healing has no place. He's ready for you. He's ready for you. He loves you. He loved my wife enough to come get her. The angels carried her away into the same angels that's been watching her since birth. One of them had the privilege to carry her into the presence of God. I was privileged to be in that hospital room. A great friend of mine, I found out 6 months later, his daughter was privileged to be the nurse.
Wow.
What are the odds of that?
Wow.
So to have the honor to see her cross over was pain. Now it was the miracle of God that when we leave this body that deals with sickness and blood pressure and stress and anger and Donald Trump. I had to throw that in. That's and all the other mess we deal with on a day-to-day basis, and to be in the, and some of us may never see the grave, because he revealed to me what I'm sharing with you. He revealed to me in a dream. I'm in the bedroom. I wish I moved, you know, I had to leave that house, you know, part of healing. And so I'm in the bedroom. I'm laying there as I always did for several nights, as though Alice was still there. She was in the room with me in the bed, you know, in the dream. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden I can look up and there's no ceiling. I see the sky. It's dark. There's lightning, there's thunder, oh my God, it was the sound of a freight train. It was loud, and these huge objects that looked like kings and queens from a deck of cards, okay, were floating across the sky like blimps. These objects were so loud. I mean, they were loud too. They were so large, you could have seen this in the Soviet Union.
Oh, wow.
And I was terrified. And I see light. I kept looking at her like, baby, you don't see this? She just shook her head no. I said, you don't hear this? She could hear any of it. And I'm like, I'm scared. Then all of a sudden, I saw the clouds swirling. Like, oh, Lord, this is it. This is the rapture. I'm terrified. And all of a sudden, I woke up. Then I was in my bed. And, of course, Alice was gone. And I was concerned, like, what was that all about? And then finally, I couldn't say, God, how come I could see all that and he couldn't? He said, cause she's asleep. The dead in Christ shall rise first.
Right.
She was asleep. So my kids say, you know, not my kids, but other people say, oh, she's up there watching over us. No, the people that leave here are not working anymore.
Right.
And I ask my kids, I say, do you want your mama watching you all the time? You want your auntie looking at you all the time?
Right.
You only want God to see half the stuff we're doing.
What do you think that dream meant, though?
It meant that it was a confirmation of where she is. Confirmation that some of us won't see death, that Jesus would return. And it was an idea. It was the strongest dream. I've had two dreams of that nature, ranking both the same. First, the manifestation of seeing Christ. And then that dream was so real and heavy. But we will see, all of us are going to be back together again in a new heaven and a new earth.
Right.
So, yeah. And the reason we're afraid of death is because we don't know. We've never been there. So. Mm-hmm. We're afraid of what we're human nature. We fear what we don't know. That's what leads to prejudice and stereotyping and judgment. You know, we really attack things when we're not familiar with it. And that's what we're afraid of. I'm no longer afraid. I mean, I can't control when God's going to take me home. So why sit around worried about it?
You know, I'm not afraid of death either. The first diagnosis I found, Isaiah 54, that talks about where Hezekiah was given a second chance. Mm. And so I'm like, Lord, you're not a respecter of persons. If you gave him 15, then I'm asking for 30. And so if I believe that, then as these new pop-ups happen, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But I believe that he gave me that promise. So I ain't going nowhere, no time soon.
We got things to do.
Yeah, I got things to do. I'm
here for a purpose, and that's why people waste their time. I'm here for a purpose, and I have things to do. And the good news is, when I leave here, I'm going to a, you know, literally a better place. If the Lord don't return before,
so
you may never see death, or people say you won't see the grave. Well, you won't see the grave anyway. You're not in there.
Right.
That's your body. Man is a spirit housed in flesh, possessing a soul, which is our mind, our will, our emotions, our intellect, and our intelligence. That is what the soul is made up of. And that is a part of us that can war against the spirit. The spirit only knows the presence of the Lord. Once you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become connected to God. You, through the spirit, you are part of the body of Christ, Christ being the head. So Alice is part of the body. All those who in Christ went before her are part of the body. We're part of the body. So even though she's not in her physical realm anymore here on earth, the only reason we have that body, your baby had the body for 7 days, only to be here in this realm. And then your baby's spirit returned back to the Lord. Okay, because she knew no sin, right? Babies don't know sin.
Oh, and I thank the Lord for the time. I thank the Lord for the term, because she had the most beautiful black coal eyes. And she only opened her eyes once, but I got a chance to see it. And so, you know, he will give you little glimpses. Yeah, he will give you little glimpses of things. And so I think, you know, people just have to learn how to process. They have to learn how to process the changes that we go through in life. You know, he didn't promise that this life was going to be easy.
No. And again, death is losing a loved one is as devastating as it is. But again, you have to, I decided, okay, with whatever day God gives me, then I'll just use it to the fullness of whatever it is I'm supposed to be doing here to impact other people. So, I mean, I'm still committed to impacting lives. As I mentioned, our church has just been a blessing. It's been my church family, you know, just amazing people of God. You know, we've grown and then with the goals of working on the supermarket project and, you know, it's a goal I think can help impact the community, bringing a hope into a community without hope. So I feel there's a reason for me, if it's another day, another year, another 10 years, I don't know, I'm done trying to figure that out. But if you love someone, the best way, I like what Yolanda Wallace is doing, for example. She lost her son several years ago to gun violence. And so she took that situation and she's using it for the glory of God to try to help others going through the same situation. And I think that, you know, I mean, we can't always turn every person we lose. We can't turn it into a crusade.
Right.
But it certainly helps when you think about, well, that person really would want you to live out whatever season God has for you. And I can be the best. Alice and I were having a conversation, and we were talking about success. And she asked me, what do you think success is? So I went on and, you know, I talked about, well, you know, having, you know, the ministry growing, you know, family happy, you know, having enough access to cash in the bank, you know, so you can do some things you want to do, you know, nice home, cars, you know, some of the traditional answers we give.
Right.
And so we didn't get a chance. She didn't answer the question till later on that night. You know, we got distracted as we always did. It was always somewhere putting somebody's fire out. So, ministry. And so I asked her later on that night, I said, well, you never answered the question. You asked me. I said, so what about you? She said, my greatest success is my children. Period. And this probably was 2 months before she went to be with the Lord.
Wow.
And we didn't see that coming. We had an amazing year. She took me to Vegas for my birthday. We went to Myrtle Beach. We went to Lake of the Ozarks. We had a year where we were able to do things we hadn't been able to do before. Our whole family, all of us, went to Miami.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, after she passed, the kids, they were all boasting, talking about which one was her favorite. I said, none of y'all. I said, it's the baby we left in Vegas. What happened in Vegas?
Stays in Vegas, exactly.
That baby we left out there. I left you out there, hi, baby. But we had fun. Alice and I had fun. We enjoyed life. You know, we live for God. We live for each other. We live for the kids. We enjoy life. Now, with her 7 and my 2, I got 9. So,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, people talking about, are you going to date again? That's another dumb thing. Let me help y'all out. I got to throw this one out here. You know, I'm single, but I'm not available. When you lose your wife or your husband, the last thing you're looking and thinking about is somebody else.
Right, right.
You messed up. You're not there. You know, and again, God, I love my sisters. I love y'all. You know, but what they see is an available man, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not, you know, you're not there. As a man, you're still struggling emotionally. As a woman, you lost your husband. You're still struggling emotionally. You're still, it's not like me and Alice decided, I want out. Bye, get your things, get out of here.
Right, right.
But she wasn't like that, right? We just abruptly was interrupted.
Right.
Okay? And so, in truth, your heart is still there, connected in your mind, your soul. Well, you know, obviously we're disconnected spiritually because she has served her assignment as a wife.
Right.
Mother is assignment. Father, husband, wife. These are assignments. When you go be with the Lord, you go from labor to reward. That's why it says, till death do you part. Right. Wow. So my mom and dad, they were 91 and 93 when they crossed over to be with the Lord. They lived their life. They've done. Sometimes people will pray for their parents. Oh, I want my mama to. Your mama laying there. My dad was laying there, for example. My sister's having to change my dad diaper. You know, he's not the person he wanted to be. He couldn't get out and go in the yard and cut the trees or watch the gospel, right, that music. And, you know, so we're praying to hold on to these people. And you're doing them a disservice because their body's tired and they know the Lord. And sometimes we can be selfish in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
But as a man, a widow, and I'm trying to say this the right way. Oh, yeah, there's going to be a lot of women. Yes, yes. Women pushing up on you. As a single woman, men pushing up on you because they see you as, but you're not there emotionally.
Right.
You need time. I don't know what I'm going to do in that. People ask me, I want to get married again. It's like, you know, you want to slap them. I don't want to say that.
But I mean, I agree with you that everybody grieves, their timeline for grief is different. And so no one can say, oh, it's been a couple of years now. Maybe you not
should. Don't get at the man at the funeral. Don't go to the woman.
Like, yeah.
Remember
yeah.
the heartbeats? Remember Big Red?
You yeah.
watch the movie, you're so young. You didn't watch the Five Heartbeats?
Yeah, yeah.
Remember Big Red walked up at the funeral and he said, you know, here's my number in case you don't want to be alone.
That's not the appropriate time.
No, it's...
Yeah, you got to allow people time to grieve. Yeah. And like you said, I like how you said it, that they're mentally not there because they are still trying to be connected to that other person.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to process that. Yeah.
So your mind is not there. So that's just, you know, sometimes, and again, people don't know no better. Or they've never been through it, so they can't connect with you in that realm. They can't understand what you're really going through, and it's not their fault. They don't know. But I still say, if you're listening to this, when it comes to a man that's a widower and a woman that's a widow, be sensitive. If you don't have the right words, some of my best support was people who was okay to allow you to call and cry and just listen.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do a shout out. My friend Kim, my church member, my sister in Christ, you know, she, Kimberly Darling, she would allow her pastor to just call and then she wouldn't say nothing. Andre Boris did that for me one time. He does graphic designs. I don't know. They're just anointed in that area. They just would listen. And you don't have to, sometimes people are hurry up and try to pray for you and stuff because they really can't take what you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't need prayer when people lose their husbands, wives, kids and stuff. We pray for our strength. But moreover, sometimes just being a good listener, if you really want to be there for that person, learn how to be there and be quiet and just let them get it out, whatever it is they need to say. Don't try. Give them scriptures and what the Bible said, and you know, until maybe you can later, but sometimes being quiet.
And sometimes just being there. Like, I have a cousin of mine who you wouldn't think that, because she's older than me, you wouldn't think that we would be like really cool friends because of the age difference, but we both love movies. And she will just come and watch a movie with me.
Mm-hmm.
And just that quality time, we're not really saying nothing to each other, but she's there.
Right there.
You know, and so just having someone being in your space and doing something that you enjoy, that matters too.
Yeah.
So we're going to transition to the questions, unless you have anything else you would like to add about grief.
No, that I think we've talked about that, you know.
Okay.
Finding purpose and reinventing your life. Yep.
Okay. So the first question I ask, are you a spiritual person? And of course, you being a pastor, the assumption is that you are. But I ask this question because sometimes when I speak with people, they're not, or they're really struggling in that area.
Yeah.
And so I can move on to question number two. Okay. So question number two, what have you learned about yourself while you've gone through these challenges?
Well, you learn you're not as powerful spiritually as you think you are. You learn that you're human.
Yes, sir.
You know, life is real and it doesn't blink. You learn that you're not exempt from the challenges associated with life, but also learn that, I probably don't give myself enough credit. I have managed to try to stay strong with the nine children I have, because my two daughters love Dallas. Also, being there for them whenever they need me. They need to call me Cash App instead of Dad.
Right.
But I also learned, you know, that I've been able to persevere. Like, say, our church, and I just poured out as Wednesday nights and Sundays, and you know, I didn't miss a beat. So sometimes you're stronger than you think you are. You're more resourceful then you give yourself credit for. You may not have done every little thing right, but you got to look at some of the things you did do and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to make it.
Yeah.
And be okay with that.
So question number three, how have you experienced the grace of God during this season?
He carried me. Even when I didn't want to talk to him, he was still carrying me. You know, God will carry you even when you're acting a fool. I mean, you know, it's amazing how his love for you will go far beyond your tears, your pain, your frustration, your anger. Why? I have no idea why he loves us, why he even puts up with us. I don't know. But his grace, as Paul said, is sufficient. He says, my strength is made perfect in your time of weakness. So God has truly carried me through the darkest days of my life. I'm a witness. He is a mind regulator and he's a heart mender. I'm a witness.
Yes. And you are familiar with the nine fruit of the Spirit being faithfulness, self-control, patience, goodness, gentleness, joy, kindness, peace, and love. In what ways do you see evidence of the fruit in your life?
Well, you know, it's certainly long suffering, learning how to sustain. You know, people always think long suffering means to suffer long. No, long suffering is like a being. Bible said like a tree planted by the water. It means that when the storms of life come, can you hold on? Can you sustain? Can you endure? And that's what it really takes in order to make it through devastation. You have to have love is the number one thing, and that is the love of Christ, first of all, but the love of people around you that will help you to navigate through. This was really probably a very hard thing to say. I needed a hug so bad. And
I'm right there with you. I'm a hugger. I'm right there with you. I completely understand what you're coming from when you say that, because sometimes just that human touch.
Yeah. And it was just that I didn't get it.
Yeah.
Because when you're a single man, it's hard to get that without people having another objective. And some people that were close to me didn't understand that, you know, my kids had their boyfriends and girlfriends in their life.
Yeah.
But as a man, you and the pastor, everybody just think you got this going on and, you know, you're okay. And I mean, there were times you need that. I just need a hug. Literally.
And you know what? I have a cousin, a favorite male cousin of mine, where I would call him and say, meet me at the gas station. I need a hug.
Yeah.
And he would drop what he's doing and just come and give me a hug.
Yeah.
But you're right in your role. You know, sometimes people kind of look, you know, and we as humans, we just need a hug. We just need a hug.
So bad. And so I was in a store. It was Valentine's Day and I wasn't really thinking about going in Schnucks to get any Valentine's. I was trying to go get me a steak for breakfast.
Yeah.
And so I go in there and all of a sudden I'm seeing flowers and candy and all of this. You know, Alice had been gone, you know, a little over 2 months. And so you're seeing all this. So I cried so many times and, you know, it's been a while since I did this, believe it or not. And so I'm trying to hurry and get out of the store. You know, it was just, I got hot and sad. So I get all the way to the register. I almost headed May. And then she was, I don't know who, she knows me. And you know, most people know you when you're a pastor. She's very nice. And she just looked at me. She said, hey, how you doing? And I was just, I got quiet. And I just started going there. And she just come out from behind that counter, one of the workers at Schnucks, and she just gave me the biggest hug. And I walked out of there feeling so much better.
Yeah.
I literally, right at Schnucks, cried on that lady's shoulder.
Yeah, yeah.
And so a lot of times you don't need scriptures and sermons and faith leaders and all this other stuff. Some days a hug can go a long way. So
yeah.
steered away from your question too far, but.
Oh no, that actually was perfect because that touched me because seriously, there are times when I just need a hug. And it's not the church hug. You know, it's where you can just relax your shoulders on someone else's shoulder for a second and breathe.
It's hard to get that. Again, you know, you want to talk to people, you want to get that. You miss that marriage is companionship, for example. I'm using this as I'm a widow, right? And you miss that companionship. You miss cups of coffee. You miss so many points in your life. The simple things that you guys share, you miss that. And it was like, man, if I just had somebody I could just sit and talk to and have coffee with. But, you know, there you are crossing over that line because, again, people see you as a single man. And in a weird way, I wanted that cup of coffee. It's like I need a lady there, somebody to just say something kind and nice. Because you're trying to fill a void, right?
Right.
Not trying to take advantage of anybody, but, you know, for a woman or a widowed woman, your husband's not there, that friend, that partner. And you know you're in a vulnerable state, or not so much in vulnerability, but you're in a tough place where you don't know who's got the right objective for you or who's...
Right.
You know, as soon as you're done grieving, maybe we'll have this little thing going. So you're like grabbing and reaching for these straws. You're trying to find something to help you cope with the void. And so I found that when people say, well, you find that in Christ, and that's true.
Yeah.
I found that spiritual void and what you're dealing with can only be filled through Christ. No one else can fill that void better than God.
Right. So question number 5, what kinds of supports did you receive from family and friends during this time? Like, I asked this question so that when people are struggling to know what to say or struggling to know what to do, you know, to be there for someone, I like to give tangible examples of how someone might have been there for you, and then they go, oh, well, I have a friend who's going through, then I can maybe be there for them in that way. So do you have any kind of tangible supports that kind of stand out to you? Like you were saying, you know, just being available by phone, someone you can call at 3 o'clock in the morning, but are there any other examples?
Well, you know, my church family was very strong. You know, my immediate family, you know, they were there the best they could, you know. I was very blessed to have these many people in my life. And even some of my business colleagues, I met with John, and my buddy John Hopkins, he let me cry. My good friend Tony Scroggins, he was just right there by my side, still is. And so my my circle was strong. But then there was those widows. Man, I'm telling you, that group right there, the people I had off, man, that was because you got somebody that you can relate to, and they can relate to you. And I got to say, Bishop Dawson, just, man, we just carried each other in such a way. I can't put a price tag on that. First of all, I had nothing but mad respect and love for such an amazing man of God. But to be able to just make that connection the time we did, it was like chicken soup. So I say you want to connect with other people. That way you don't feel isolated, like you're the only one going
there. Right. And I like how you shared that it was not just men that came alongside you. It was also women who came alongside you, and you allowed that. And there was no funny business, how some people think, you know, but you're allowing that person to love on you, be a friend to you. And we as people have to learn how to be that friend for someone, you know, sometimes just coming and sitting, you know, cooking food, picking up the kids from school, you know, all the things that you can't think of right now because you're not there in your head. Coming and taking out the trash, cutting the grass, you know, all those different types of things that if they can take just one thing off of your plate, it makes a difference. It really does.
My church, and they were very supportive. A lot of them have just grown spiritually and I don't want to get to naming people because, again, it wouldn't be fair. I'd have to go down a long list of people that have just stepped up big. You know, they threw me a birthday party. You know, they just really have been there. You know, my cousin, you know, my buddy in Wichita, and he and his wife. So, you know, Pastor Sister Randall came by. There's just so many people. I could go down a list of folks, but I'm blessed. And unfortunately, most people don't have that circle. This is what we have. Y'all listen to me very carefully. If you're not regularly attending church, okay, ask the Holy Spirit. Notice I didn't say find a church home. Ain't your job. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you to a church and get involved. Be with other people. Stop thinking everybody's supposed to be these perfect little Christians because they're not. You want the perfect church? I'll shoot you. Get you there quick. It's called heaven. We need each other out here. You're not, you know, you don't want to be on an island by yourself. So I'm saying, don't do that before you run into trouble and stress and tragedy. But having a good church family around you is very beneficial. My brother Mike, I go down the list. You know, you gotta have those people.
And I know you stated that Alice kind of kept her diagnosis to herself.
Yeah.
And so you're getting this support on the flip side after she had gone on to be with the Lord.
Yeah.
I actually encourage people to share the journey because I also believe that we shouldn't have to go through the journey alone. There's so many people, because I think that the devil then has an opportunity in that isolation to make it more difficult for you if you're not well connected with the Lord. That makes it even, you know, more tough.
Everybody. Men are different, but you know, Alice just, she didn't like a lot. She didn't want all that attention, you know, brought her people looking at her. And it was just different with her. She was always a private person, believe it or not. I mean, our life together with ministry is what put us out there in the light, I guess, if you will. But she's more or less a private person. Her circle was very small, you know, and so she was a lot more conservative with that respect. So I always say with illness, challenges, deal with it in a way that'll give you comfort and strength.
Yeah, yeah.
Do it the way, you know, like grieving. Grieve the way you're going to grieve.
Yeah. Yeah, not to tell everybody your business, but not to be so, because to me it allows fear to come in if you don't share, at least within your circle. If you have a good circle of people that can keep your confidences, I feel like at least to share with one other person.
Oh, well,
she had you there, of course. Yeah. You know.
And then, you know, there was a couple other people, but then we have,
because you don't want to allow that fear. I see a lot of people, especially dealing with cancer, you hear that word and you immediately, it seems like cancer equals fear, you know, but if you let it hit you in that way, then your response is different. But if you don't believe the report and you believe the report of the Lord, then it will process differently. And so I encourage people to at least establish a team of people that you can call on. Yeah. Like you're saying, with your circle, and be able to gain some support. So question six, do you have any words of wisdom for someone who may be going through something similar, whether it's a newly widowed male or female, or for someone who is dealing with cancer and kind of having that, staring down that journey and what that might look like for them? I love how you said, you know, cancer is not a death sentence.
No. That's the, you know, you can have 20 stage cancer, and when it's not your date, there's a season to be born, a season to die. The one thing, one human element, is we have no control over neither one of those dates. We think we do. We don't. You can be a school teacher in school and get shot by a 6-year-old. Mm. I mean, who saw that coming, right? But she lived.
Exactly.
Exactly. You know why she lived? It wasn't her date. And so this is the fear we have, even in the church, why we worry, like, when is this big day going to happen? So most of us are caught up gripping life as though this is it. Newsflash, this is not it. I will not be here forever. You won't. All of my kids, everyone have an appointment. So during this time, and even for my friends or widows and those of you who are suffering, going through this or challenged with any sickness or disease, choose this day and live it as though it's your last day on the planet. Today is the best day of the rest of my life because it's the only day that God is promising me. With that understanding, the fact that when I leave here, I know where I'm going. I am no longer worried because I have no control over it. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be the best possible impact. I mean, look at you today. Okay, you have cancer, right? You're fighting cancer, right? Yeah. Because it's illegal. I'm going to say, here's the thing that's so amazing. And you got people with all their health and strength. And they're somewhere sitting up blowing some weed right now, looking at the TV, looking at some mess, some crazy Hollywood wives or whatever. They're wasting their time. Here you are spending your time inspiring, encouraging, enlightening, and educating and helping. So you are a vessel that God is using to bring his glory in the earth. And you have people full of health sitting somewhere in a shelter because they don't want to get off crack pipe. You have somebody sitting in a bad relationship right now because neither one of them want to have to be the first to say goodbye.
Right.
You have people. And let me ask you this question. I always ask people this question. If you had 6 months to live, what would you do at the time? And most people would talk about, you know, in my case, I said, well, I'd spend more time, obviously, with my kids and my grandkids. When Alice was here, I would say Alice, of course, would be number one. I would spend more time doing things, going around and speaking to people and being encouragement and all these things I said I was going to do, travel places I hadn't been, eat some recipes I hadn't eaten before. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then the question becomes, what makes you think you got 6 months to live?
Right.
So you could die today.
Right. So
why aren't we doing that list today? Why are you not spending time, quality time with the people you love? Why are you not traveling and doing the things you enjoy? Why are you not sampling those recipes? Why do we have to get a pronouncement from death before we decide to live?
Right.
And the truth is, we've all been sentenced to death tomorrow because it's not promised for none of us. You could be 2 years old and be sitting in Ukraine, a bomb comes in your apartment building, and you're gone. So choose this day to be an encouragement. That's what you're doing. Here you are. Aww. Got your hair did. Come on. You know, you doing the thing. You living. You, regardless of what is set up in your body, you are living. You are, and it's probably the thing that's healing you past what they're talking about. You could be 100 years old before it's over with. So. Yeah. Your energy, your positive energy is causing healing in your body. So live every day as though it's your last day.
And so question number 7, and thank you for that. How do you plan to use what you've been through to encourage someone else? And I know you're already walking that out, continuing to pastor. The plan is to open the grocery store. And I've told you anything that I can do to help with that, you know, I'm there.
Send me $0.3 million. I take link. Come on.
We're going to work on that. What's next for you? What do you got it on the horizon?
Well, Harvest is part of a larger vision that God gave me to revitalize the south side of Peoria. We're waiting on, political leaders and truthfully, they're waiting on us. There needs to be some developers, people with vision and faith. And so Harvest is a supermarket project with a indoor dining facility. It'll have 30 seats. I'm going to do this. I'm going to cheat a little bit. I'm gonna walk over here to my wall for those of you who probably haven't heard of this crazy project I'm doing. Okay, that's Harvest there. That's gonna be what the old Aldi's building is gonna look like when we get finished. And then of course, when you walk in, this is the 30 seat dining facility that'll be in the front door. Okay, and the reason I'm showing you this is because there's no hope on the south side of Peoria. A lot of people have moved out. You know, we make it, and unfortunately the first thing we do is we say, well, I'm going to live somewhere else, and we leave our community because there's no hope. South side is one of the many food deserts. Now, once we get the store open, that's the first step. The next step is to tear down a lot of those old homes. We're going to go in and we're going to buy up a lot of those properties and tear them down and then build new homes, starter homes, so we can create a better neighborhood. To me, you drive poverty out with prosperity. You drive evil out with good. So if you want to stop the violence, give our young people some hope, a neighborhood. So instead of me leaving the hood, why not turn around and rebuild the hood? So we can stop making successful lives and running away from each other. Let's start running toward each other. So it's part of a larger vision. We got a church to build. We have property on Gale and Forest Hill. We're no longer 603 West Nebraska for a reason. We're gearing up to break ground on what's going to be a church and a licensed daycare. So, you know, I'm a shameful plug here, but that's what keeps me going. And I'm already preparing this church for the next pastor, a younger, more relevant leader. I'm already preparing this community for a next generation, see? And so I have a lot to do, and I pray God will allow me to see this mission through. So I have purpose. Purpose gives you a reason to keep persevering, stick, challenge, and you. So that's what is pulling me through. So yeah, I've got a lot of work to do, and it's going up against a lot of odds, but I'm not worried about that. We serve a big God.
Amen. And I would love to talk further about how to partner with you. You know, my focus down here in Texas right now is the job training program. I have a contract with the state of Texas to provide those services. And I had already been in communication with the Illinois Department of Rehabilitation about getting a contract with them. So the job training and education piece of stuff that you may be able to kind of tie into and access a funding, access funds from that endeavor to be able to, you know, push the larger goal. So we can definitely have some conversation around that. But I love what you're doing. I'm always watching you on social media, and just I'm so encouraged by your walk throughout this season. And I just, want to encourage you to continue to be as transparent as you are. I love that. And thank you so much for coming on to the podcast and sharing how you have in reference to just, grief looks different for everybody, and that, when you have a purpose, it can keep you moving forward. And so being able to get past the grief to the point of purpose is the goal. It doesn't mean that you, of course, have dealt with everything, but you are still putting one foot in front of the other. And so I thank you and I honor you for that.
Well, again, I appreciate you. And, you've got things to do. You get up and you keep yourself healthy, exercise, drink those protein shakes that keeps your body functioning and doing what it's supposed to do. I've got family members who've had cancer diagnosis for 30, 40 years. And you just, again, God has a plan, a purpose for you. And even now you're impacting lives, allowing me to share all of this. I've never had this platform to do this. But I really appreciate you and what you're doing. So we will be praying right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, I thank you for this sister. I ask that you strengthen her, manifest healing throughout her body from the top of her head to the tip of her toes. And we ask God that you allowed her to continue to serve you in such a large capacity, increase her platform, increase her presence throughout this nation. And we thank you for what you're about to do in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You're still in the miracle business. So if I say I'm going to pray for you, I'm going to hit you right now.
Amen. Thank you so much. This episode is brought to you by Renew You Body Butters. Renew your skin, renew your life. Renew You Body Butters is a handcrafted luxury skincare brand that seeks to heal you and your loved ones, one application at a time. So if you suffer from eczema or other skin conditions, try Renew You Body Butters. And just for Rehab Your Life listeners, there is a special code, RENEWYOU20, for 20% off your order, and you get free shipping on orders over $99. Go to RenewYouBodyButters.com. This episode is brought to you by my books, Lose to Win and Nothing Can Stop the Promises of God, Not Even COVID-19. They are both available on Amazon.com, and please consider switching over to smile.amazon.com and add Rehab Your Life as your nonprofit of choice that you would like to support in 2023. That's one way that you can support the organization with your everyday shopping. That is smile.amazon.com and add Rehab Your Life as your nonprofit. Thank you in advance. If you're looking for a place to get real quality supplements, I use Piping Rock. I've been using them for many years, and it's the only site that I go to for my health supplements. Use my personal rewards code, www.pipingrock.com/RW code equals HDH956. Thank you for tuning in for our very first episode of the new year. Be on the lookout for our upcoming events, and we hope to see you back again soon. Talk to you guys later.